Hey, welcome to Red Eye. It's like, where's Waldo? If by Waldo you mean Greg Gutfeld, and if the answer is, who cares? I'm TV's Andy Levy filling in for Greg Gutfeld for what I believe is the 5,000th straight show. Let's go to author and columnist Essie Cupp for our pregame report. Essie, what's coming up on tonight's big show?
Thanks, Andy, or as I like to call you, Gingy Levy. Coming up on tonight's show, is the First Lady a murderer? No. But I hear she never puts the cap back on the toothpaste.
That's worse.
And do babies deserve privacy rights? Put some clothes on, babies, and then we'll talk. And finally, are women paying the ultimate price for success? Only if the ultimate price is a lifetime of loneliness. Back to you, Gingy.
Thanks, Essie. I don't get it, but then again, I never do.
You never do.
I know. Let's welcome our guests. I'm here tonight with Diana Falzone, G4 TV field correspondent and military.com relationship expert. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, every Thursday, she turns into a liger for precisely 2 hours and 12 minutes. No one's sure why. Matt McCall, founder and president of Penn Financial Group and winner of the 2011 Most Likely to Be the Next Bernie Madoff Award. Bill Schultz, he reeks of lavender and failure. And sitting right next to me is a first-time guest. He's Michael Moynihan, senior editor of Reason Magazine and Reason.com, and noted anti-Semite.
Yes, that's true.
And even he doesn't know if it's Krugman or Krugman. It's our New York Times correspondent. Good to see you again, Pinch.
The title of today's Richard Sandomeyer's front page article, New York, a champ when it comes to losing. In unrelated news, subscribers in Cleveland, Buffalo, and Detroit have all canceled. Andy?
What about Boston?
Boston had that World Series sometime.
Boston sucks.
You suck.
I know. Being active has never been so unattractive, at least according to the Governor's Highway Safety Association, which says that after 4 straight years of decline, the number of pedestrian deaths rose in the first half of 2010. And the culprit? None other than Michelle, Merchant of Death, Obama. Yes, the GHSA claims the First Lady's Let's Move program, which is aimed at getting Americans to be more exercisey, could be partially responsible for you dying. Says a spokesman, she's trying to get us to walk to work and exercise a little bit more. While that's good, it also increases our exposure to risk. Sure, the GHSA also talks about factors like alcohol and increased iPod or smartphone use being behind the uptick in pedestrian deaths, but let me be clear, it's all Michelle's fault, people. And then there's this incriminating video that recently surfaced.
Help! How did you get back there?
I don't want to tell you.
Tell me, how did you get back there? What happened that you got behind the couch?
I don't want to tell you. I don't want to.
You have to tell me if you want to get out.
I don't want to.
What happened?
Behind the couch.
I want to get out of the couch.
He later confessed that, quote, the First Lady told me to do it.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Diana, I go to you first with a key question. Why does the First Lady want people to die?
She has a license to kill, and she wants to exercise her right to use it. See, I put exercise in there.
Nice.
Honestly, we're taking this so out of proportion. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she just wants people to get fit, and walking is one of the best forms of exercise. So I think we need people to have a manual that says this is your safe guide to walking. And it's pretty sad that people are exposing themselves to risks.
It is how far we've fallen, though, that we need a manual for a safe time to walking.
Yes.
Hey, Michael, this is the classic some say news story, isn't it?
Yes.
Some say the First Lady is responsible for pedestrians dying.
Yes.
So on a scale of one to, well, of course, how completely and totally reasonable is this scenario?
Oh, I think this is like a 15. I mean, she is clearly history's greatest monster. Yeah. I mean, she's the sort of John Demjanjuk of the White House. I suppose that means Pat Buchanan will be defending her sometime
soon. Sure, absolutely.
I mean, this is kind of ridiculous. But the great thing about it is that, you know, clearly if people are getting out and walking, like, along highways and stuff because Michelle Obama told them to. Clearly, if they're doing that because Michelle Obama said so, they deserve to be hit by cars.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I mean, if you if you need that, so you're really fat and you have to go and walk to work, and she's telling you to do it, I think that they deserve everything that they get. And she's still responsible too. I don't want to miss
we've
that.
We've established
point,
that already. Okay, Matt, here's the deal, though. I checked the stats. The Governor's Highway Safety Association says that 1,891 pedestrians were killed in the first 6 months of 2010. This is up from 1,884 in the same period in 2009. That's a whopping 0.4%. It's almost like the whole Michelle Obama angle is a PR move for them to get some press and for people like us to talk about
it. Or it means that 7 people in America less than Michelle Obama. I mean, because we really jumped up 7
point.
People, so this really had that much clout.
No.
I'm actually going to stick up for Michelle Obama for the first time in my life. Have you ever tried to walk through Times Square and watch people walk? They're texting. I mean, did we see the girl recently this week fall into a fountain texting, and she's suing because we're making fun of her?
Right.
I mean, this is all about the fact that Americans don't know how to walk.
She's suing.
Yes, I mean, so, no, I'm sick of it from Michelle Obama. More people are dying every day because they're too darn fat. Stop eating and get out there and start walking.
Yeah, I think, to be clear, we should point out that we're having a bit of a laugh as our British friends.
Are you having a laugh?
It's a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. Are you having a guffaw? Yeah.
But, Bill, doesn't this prove that the only safe and smart thing to do is to be a shut-in?
Was that a question to me or the man in the mirror?
Well, it was a question. I'm hoping you're validating my lifestyle.
Let me tell you something. The more you choose to hide from that big, bad world out there, the more that big, bad world is going to pass you by. I don't know what that means, but I do know one thing. I like to party.
But if the things passing me by, including cars that would otherwise hit me, I think that's a good thing.
Is it a good thing?
Well, I think
so. Why don't you ask your wrist?
Yeah,
what is
exactly
a good thing, Andrew?
Hey, Michael, Jim Garrity over at National Review says that blaming Michelle Obama for pedestrian deaths is no more implausible than blaming Sarah Palin for the shootings in Tucson, by which he means it's equally stupid.
It is equally stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I still stick to the history's greatest monster thing.
Sure.
But I don't want to, for
other reasons.
I seem weak if I
pull
back from
that. You don't want to be a squish.
Yeah, don't want to be a squish at all. But yeah, it is about the sort of same level of logic. The Sarah Palin thing, I mean, but keep in mind that Sarah Palin wasn't the only person that was blamed for the shooting. My favorite one was the old 80s chestnut, which we blogged on Reasons Hit and Run, Heavy Metal. Which is
sure,
like, you know, the
absolutely
last time, like, Judas Priest was being blamed for thing. It is like a perennial favorite.
Was it Drowning Pool, I think?
Yeah, I don't know
what
that is.
I think it was Drowning Pool.
Yeah. But I think that's what the kids listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is why I'm starting an internet campaign. Blame Matt McCall for the shooting. If we can get more people on board with that, we find one person to bash that everyone can agree on, so much the better. We come together, better tone.
I'll Twitter it later.
Unity.
Thank you.
It's all about unity for you. Always has been. All right, final thought. Barbara Harsha, the executive director of the GHSA, says they don't oppose the First Lady's Let's Move program, and they don't blame her for any deaths. Clearly somebody got to her. From dangerous roads to genetic codes, should we take DNA in case they go MIA? Dr. Manny Alvarez says, way. In a FoxNews.com column this week, the good doctor asks, should DNA fingerprinting on newborn children be the law of the land? Alvarez raises the issue in light of a recent story about a 23-year-old woman, Carlina White, who was abducted when she was only 19 days old and raised in Connecticut. She became suspicious that this wasn't her real family when she realized she didn't like sailing or antiquing. And with the help of DNA tests, she eventually tracked down and was reunited with her real mother. As Dr. Manny points out, DNA fingerprinting is the most accurate way to identify one human from another. And so, he writes, do you think that DNA fingerprinting children would protect them, or do you think it would be an intrusion, which would add little to the abduction epidemic that we have in this country? I'll vote first. I say it can only protect. Michael, I was surprised to discover that as a libertarian, you think mandatory DNA fingerprinting is a great idea.
Did I say that?
In the green room.
I did say that. Yeah. I said a lot of things in the green room.
Yeah.
And I regret most of them.
You implied it. You certainly implied it.
Yeah. Now, I'm taking, see what Judge Napolitano says about this. I don't have any interest in DNA fingerprinting babies. And I think it's pretty, it's this great sort of paranoia about children that people are going to snatch them. I mean, honestly, well, I read the column.
Right.
How many babies are snatched every year?
740 million.
Yeah. But that's breath rounding up.
It's a staggering amount.
It's a staggering amount.
No, that's an exact amount.
It's actually not. It's like an exact.
This is
right
the epidemic.
On the dot.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think this happens very much.
Right.
So I think it's probably an enormous cost for a problem that doesn't really exist.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm sure parents at Park Slope think it's a big deal.
Right. Yeah. All right, Diana, here's my thing.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be a law? If parents want to DNA fingerprint their children, I guess that's up to them. But do we need to make this mandatory?
I think we should make this mandatory because as much as we can say, oh, this isn't important and we're having an intrusion of rights and privacy, honestly, if I'm going to be a parent one day, I want to make sure that if anything happens to my child, we can find that child ASAP within the first 48 hours.
The thing is, you say that now, but what if you don't like your child?
Yeah.
It's probable. Who knows what I'll mate
with
or what I'll
mate with.
And
then you'll be sorry that you DNA fingerprinted it. Won't you?
I'll have to think this over.
Especially if it's an it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That is true.
Yep. Matt, I was watching your face when you first read this story, and it turned positively white. I take it you don't want to be tracked down by any children you might have.
Me, personally, I have a lot of mixed feelings on this. One, any future criminals, not that I am a future criminal, I could be a future criminal, does not want to have any fingerprints on file, right? So you want to stay away from that. Yes, there's probably a couple little Matt McCalls running around trying to come after me right now. Very cute kids, by the way. Nice hair,
course,
everything.
Of course.
Yes, I don't want them to find me.
Right.
But that being
wearing,
said.
Wearing little grandpa sweaters.
This is nice very time. Stylish. Yes. Have you not been to Abercrombie & Fitch lately?
It's stylish. I dig the sweater.
That being said, I am behind this. Uh-huh. I really think that my legitimate child, uh-huh. I would like to be fingerprinted. But legitimate, no.
But do you think it should be mandatory? You think
yes,
the government
I think it should?
Really?
Because really? Who's going to be mad? Other than me, because I have a few legitimate children. Other than the fact that I'm going to be a future criminal. Other than that, if you're just a normal human being, you want to be fingerprinted.
But aren't we then, Michael? We're basically Gattaca at that point, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a very underrated Ethan Hawke film. Yeah.
It's a movie I've never seen, but you drop it in when you talk about stuff like
this. I think we're totally going to be like
it should be just like Brazil.
Or
1984.
Yeah, all of those things. I know 1984. That's a book. I've read that one.
It is a book, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that a massive DNA database of like an unholy baby army is a bit disturbing. Yeah, and I think we should talk about that on The Judge tomorrow.
Okay. By the way, I don't mean to correct you.
I love The Judge.
1984, not a book. It was actually an Apple commercial directed by Ridley Scott.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Bill, you have no or maybe some but very little idea where your four illegitimate daughters are. Do you regret not having them DNA fingerprinted?
I know where they are. I know exactly what those girls are up to. I know what Lunesta's doing. I know what Laquifa's doing. I know what Cerveza's doing, named after the cause. And I know what David's doing. Uh-huh. What I want to know is, are their skank moms telling me the truth? I want those daughters' DNA. I want to find out if I don't owe them any more child support. And I want to find out what skank moms have been up to.
All right.
None of their names I remember.
So if I take anything from your answer, which I probably shouldn't, is that you're pro DNA fingerprinting.
I'm pro my daughters and go to bed. It's very late. They're in their 20s, but they need to show
up. They're working at the strip club.
Yeah.
So they're
How dare you?
All right. Moving on.
A cabaret.
Moving on. From DNA to WTF. He was the victim of 140 character assassinations. I speak of SportsIllustrated.com columnist Jeff Perlman, who'd been on the receiving end of some vulgar tweets from someone named Matt, culminating in a link deceptively prefaced with the quote, "I got caught up in the anonymity of the internet. I'm sorry, and here is a legitimate post with my criticisms." So Perlman clicked on the link and found what he described as a nasty pornographic image that would make Sasha Gray vomit into the nearest trash can. I have never been more curious about something in my life. Perlman says he normally turns the other cheek when it comes to his daily drop-dead wishes and go-to-hell dreams from his followers, but this time was different. This time, he tracked the dude down and spoke to him using a bit of newfangled technology known as the telephone. And guess what, guess whaters? On the phone, Matt was meek, apologetic, and even likable. Perlman says that other writers he talked to reported similar results. The guilty party was both flattered to be found and apologetic for what they'd done, thinking no one really read it anyway. For more on this phenomenon, let's go live to Red Eye Civility correspondent Dainty Cat. DC?
His back legs are cats.
Dainty is as Dainty does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Matt, pretty much anyone who has any kind of online presence has experienced nastiness. You kind of got to hand it to Perlman for doing what he did, don't you?
I'm glad he called him out, because, I mean, I know you. I've seen your Twitter.
Right.
You know, I'm sure you get a lot of nasty stuff.
No. So,
why would you say he's not likable?
But you want to track these guys down. He's probably some 16-year-old acne-faced kid behind it, you know, being like a tough guy behind a computer, coming after somebody who's actually doing his job and putting out his opinion. You know, so I'm glad he came after him, but really, that's what this kid wants. As you said, he's happy now that he came after him, because now he's this famous Matt who stole my name, and now he's using it on Twitter.
Yeah. Did he?
Did he really?
We didn't get the last name on this one.
Yeah. Hey, Diana, I find it impossible to anyone online hating you, but what's your advice for those of us who have been online hated?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I have been online hated quite a bit to the
really?
Point where, people can be nasty. And one of the best advice I had was get a tough skin, you know, get a thicker skin. And honestly, that only works for so long. And then you get offended and you want to go after those people. But Matt's right. You can't really pay them any mind. I do think if there could possibly be a way to sue every single person, that would be awesome, because you guys suck. Anyway.
Well said.
Argument for tort reform.
Absolutely. Michael, does it amaze you what people will say behind the safety of their computer screens?
Yeah, you know, actually, the last time somebody said something nasty on Twitter about me, it was you. Really?
It's true, yeah.
And you said in the intro, you did point out that I am famously anti-Semitic.
Sure.
And you did tweet that I was anti-Semitic, and I got a lot of direct messages like, do you really hate Jews? And I was like, you know, I mean, it depends on what you hate, right? You know, sometimes uncomfortable, you know? Sure. And that was all because of you, but... you know, I have a very thin skin. I can't get a thick, I don't know where one gets a thick skin. Mm-hmm. I weep into my keyboard all the time, and I don't read the comments on my posts anymore.
Sure.
Because nobody who reads my own website likes me. But I have found, and this is something an editor once told me, if you email people back, they will always be contrite, and they will always be like, oh yeah, sorry, I was.
Which is exactly what
Perlman exactly says. Right. Yeah. It's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they stalk you, then that's not. You shouldn't write people back. That's all I'm saying.
So you're pro or against?
Just saying.
Bill, you are possibly the most hated man on the internet. If you ever followed Perlman's lead and tried to contact all the people that have said nasty things about you, it would pretty much take your whole life, right?
Well, what you got to do is preemptive strikes. I tried to purchase the domain name BillSchultzSucks.com, taken right. to BillSchultzSucks.org,
yeah.
taken.
A nonprofit. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I actually ended up donating.
Yeah, that's good. That's very nice of you. Yeah.
Bill Schultz looks like a transgendered tree slot. .com and org taken.
I,
really?
I got
yes.
one, actually.
How dare you?
Yeah, well,
have unless you're into slots.
Have you tried .tv?
Huh?
Ooh,
no.
.tv?
Or .gov. Yeah. I should try that
absolutely.
As well.
Government has it.
Matt, after reading Perlman's article, do you feel bad about all those drunken tweets you sent out?
To you? Absolutely
not. Just in general.
No. I mean everything I say to you, Andy. Right. Everything.
There isn't a lot of vowels in them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to make out. Andy.
My favorite thing about internet commenters, whether they're tweeters or blog posters, are the people who are convinced they know something.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And like they'll say something about the show, and they'll be like, they'll say something about me and someone on the show. Oh, it's so obvious they hate each other, and it's like literally like one of my best friends. But they're completely convinced they know what they're talking about. That's always my
well,
favorite.
Well, I think I made some good points. I know stuff about, you know who we're talking about. Exactly.
Sometimes
that
you're right.
person thinks you like them.
That's true.
We'll put it that way.
All right, coming up. Oh, look, it's videos of couples holding hands and kissing.
Yeah.
FYI, you're all gonna die someday. Are their smarts getting in the way of their hearts? Apparently so, if you listen to people who call themselves experts. These experts say young women are doing really well academically, leaving dudes behind, but at the expense of romance. According to a new book written by these experts called Premarital Sex in America, women's successes have left them with a small pool of similarly educated and financially stable men. And as the authors note, it's created an imbalance that tips relationship power in the direction of men. Instead of men competing for women, today women feel like they must compete for men. So men are calling all the shots, which means less commitment and more sex. Up top, bros. Anyway, so what do men think of the book? We asked one.
Hi, I'm Reckless, and I'm gonna this sign up.
Oh!
Insightful indeed, Reckless, as always. Diana, as one of two women on this panel, what do you make of this? Do you think men have more of the relationship power?
I think they do, and I think it's because women are giving up their power too easily. Mm. You know, there is that old expression that says, you know, why buy the cow when the milk's free? I'm not calling women cows, so don't get offended.
I am.
But in general, women honestly have really just out-earned, out-educated men, and now men just seem to be like, you know what? I live in a city where the ratio is one me to three them, and I can do what I want, and then women are trying to fight by saying, okay, well, how will I get him? How will I get him to commit? I'll have sex with him. That will work.
It does work.
No, it doesn't work.
It works, ladies. Don't listen to her.
I'm now trying to figure out what city you live in. It's not my city. Michael, here's the thing. The whole of human history has been men doing things, building things, creating things in order to impress women. If we don't have to do that anymore, are we doomed as a species?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I don't know anything about any of this stuff. I mean, I've never been in a power position in my life. And that says more about me than it does about men.
Sure.
But I'm like I'm married and I'm having a baby. Well, I'm not having a baby, but there's someone involved in my life that's having a baby. Uh-huh. And I think she's my wife. It's very, very complicated. And no, it's like, you know, having this power, like when I was dating, if I can even call it that, no, like women used to just like, you know, pepper spray me and like tell me to go away and stop bothering them.
That's dating.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know much about it. But so I don't understand any of this stuff about women, men having any sort sort of power.
Right. We never.
If that's true, I'm totally missing it.
We never did.
But I shouldn't be looking for it because I just told them that
exactly.
I'm married.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Matt, in American colleges now, 57% of students are women, 43% are men. Does this mean it's time to go back to college?
It absolutely does. I just enrolled, actually, for my bachelor's.
No, I'm back. Mazel tov.
But the whole women in power thing, I mean, typically I have to pay for that. I mean, and she comes in the black with the whip and all that kind of stuff. Like, doesn't just happen. I don't pick that girl up at a bar. So, I mean, if she wants to be in power, I want to be in power. Who's really in power here?
I don't think being in power, the fact that they say women have the power means if they're wearing leather and have whips.
What are you
Look,
talking
you
about?
Read what you want to read, and he reads what he wants to read.
I'm not saying that's not a subset of having power, but I don't think that's what they mean.
And this is why women are single.
No. I think you might have missed the point. Bill, say something interesting here.
This study angered me because it's all about women's options and how they have very small options as far as their socioeconomic equals or betters. That's their own fault. Women have always wanted to date the guy that's either got more money than them or at least as much money within them as them. And either way, the guy's going to be spending more money on them. If women had open their... It is true.
That is not
it
true.
Is true.
You could date someone who's...
It is my turn to talk, woman. You had your time.
See, we're back.
You had your time.
Diana, could you please assert some of that power right now?
May I finish?
I think I don't need to.
For the poor, single, and ridiculously celibate men out there, like myself, you should start dating us or various hardhead guys, various blue collar guys, and stop whining. I don't want to hear about it.
Isn't the bottom line really women like to have sex? I mean, that's what it comes down to. You read the study.
No, they want to have sex. We like to have sex.
Diana
says no.
We like to have sex with commitment. There's a and
my middle name is Commitment. Meet me after the show. Actually, meet me on this show. Let's get some ratings.
All right. We're gonna move on now. Got a comment on the show? Email us. It's redeye@foxnews.com. And leave a voicemail on Greg's direct line. Call 212-462-5050. Still to come, the halftime report from Sarah Elizabeth Cupp.
Oh, she's lovely.
Aww.
Tonight's halftime report is sponsored by Gary and Gary, the number one ranked man sea lion comedy duo west of the Adirondacks, as voted by the fans. Thanks and congratulations, Gary and Gary.
Oh, hey, welcome back. Let's find out if we've got anything wrong so far. For that, we go to S.E. Cup. What's up, S.E.?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Howdy.
Michelle Obama causes pedestrian deaths. I just feel responsible here. I want to point out, you all sort of skirted around it. I want to point out for the record that there is absolutely no evidence linking Michelle Obama's Get Moving program to an increase in pedestrian deaths. I think, like Matt mentioned, the real culprit lies somewhere between Fountain Girl and Snooki. We're just that dumb.
So they got to you too, huh, Assie?
Yeah, I've been. Yeah, they were outside my apartment today.
So sad.
Michael, you said that if you're dumb enough to take diet advice from the First Lady, you're probably dumb enough to also get hit by a car.
Yes.
But isn't walk more often pretty good diet advice as far as diet advice goes?
I suppose, but if you need the First Lady to tell you, you should probably stay fat for the rest of your life.
I think you're probably right,
you
but with all those weird, like,
no,
cookie
I
diets.
No, I don't like fat people either, let's be honest.
Right.
Can I say
but
that
I don't,
on television?
I don't think the advice is bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can you clip me?
It's pretty good advice. Walk more.
Yeah.
To McDonald's. Matt, I think you're right. Americans don't know how to walk. I have this problem every time I go outside anywhere. People have umbrellas up. They're walking like arm in arm, five wide. You know what I do? I just break right through them.
But, and they're fat, too. I mean, the
okay.
fat people get
Wow.
Your
wow. You just took this to a whole other place. Yeah.
I, for one, support America's portly population.
As do I.
Yes. Don't send your letters to us.
Matt's angry tonight.
Moynihan and McCall, not Schultz and Levy. Stay
right.
away.
Send them to the two double M's.
DNA fingerprinting. Andy, you know, in characterizing Connecticut as a state of antiquing and sailing.
Sure. I was
you,
spot on.
No, you're right. But you forgot to mention gambling and arguing over the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Oh, I did forget that, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, they do that a lot there.
Yeah, I feel bad now.
It's all right.
That's all right.
Michael, you brought up a good point that maybe we shouldn't have to get our children fingerprinted because in all likelihood they're not going to be snatched from the hospital.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, isn't it?
But what if your baby commits a crime in the hospital?
And
it would be nice to have his fingerprints.
That's actually an even better point.
Catch him even easier.
I see that point too.
I mean, and you want, you know, for prosecution's sake, you want to have those prints on file when you go to prosecute your newborn.
You've changed my mind.
Yeah. Matt, you say you might have a few little Matt McCalls running around, but you don't want them to find you. Your legitimate children, however, will be fingerprinted.
I don't want them to find me either.
I think that was Thomas Jefferson's logic.
Oh. You're always quoting Jefferson on this show.
How dare you, sir?
I Wikipedia.
How dare you, sir?
I did Wikipedia it.
Wow, that was a Sally Hemings joke.
Online haters, Matt, I'm with you. This guy is awesome. In fact, I post some of my most colorful fan mail on my website, redessiecup.com. So if you want to see what guys who can't get laid write to me, check it out.
What are you saying? I can't get laid?
No.
Oh.
Bill, on that note, can you stop sending me hate mail? It's not nice.
By the way, here's one I'm composing in my head right now. In your effort to promote your little gun lobby, you have deprived our audience of your cleavage. You have deprived our audience of your cleavage.
I thought maybe this shirt would be a little too old tone, but then I said, F you, old tone.
Wow. Old tone will be editing you right out of the script, girlfriend.
Yeah. Wow.
Suck it. By the way, BillSchultz.tv is available.
Oh.
Wow, look at that.
I got to get it before the show airs.
Yeah.
I mean, we're live.
The cost of female success. Diana, you suggested that women need to learn to say no, that they've been giving it away. Yes?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Why you got to rain on my parade?
You can do whatever you want as long as you're fine with
the system works, Diana.
Non-commitment. All right. Go on with your bad self, Essie.
Bill, you said women should date blue-collar workers, hard hats, etc., if they want to sort of avoid this.
Yes.
Stop giving my secrets away. I almost exclusively date hard hats. If you have a tie, you forget it. Don't even bother asking me out. It's not going to happen.
This is a clip-on, madam.
And I like them big, and I like them dumb.
I'll ask what you're doing.
Can I just point out, though, she says she dates hard hats, she's speaking specifically of hard hats.
Not
men who wear hard hats.
It's a fetish. Look it up.
I thought she was just going after dudes that wear helmets.
No, it's the hats themselves.
Okay, cool.
It's a fetish. It's real.
Absolutely.
And it exists.
You know what? Brava, I say.
Oh, well, thank you. The hard hat fetish community appreciates your support. All right, that's all I got, Andy.
All right, cool. Thanks, Essie. Appreciate it. Hey, Lookie, will you read a bookie that's written by Snooki? On Tuesday, Nicole Polizzi, a.k.a. the Jersey Shore star Snooki, tweeted that she was a New York Times best-selling author. And then the Times itself dashed the hopes of millions that this might be false, confirming that the Orange One's novel, A Sure Thing, comes in at number 24 on its January 30th list. The book tells the story of Gia Spumanti and her cousin Bella Rizzoli, who are determined to have the sexiest summer ever. Gia, of course, is a carefree, outspoken party girl, and Bella is a tall, slender athlete who always holds her tongue. But for the next month, they're going to poof up their hair, put on their stilettos, and stock up on Valtrex as they soak up all that Seaside Heights, New Jersey has to offer. Hot Guidos, cool clubs, fried Oreos, and lots of tequila. To get a sense of what A Sure Thing is like, we asked noted Fox News radio host and Jersey Shore scholar John Gibson to read an excerpt of it. Please do enjoy.
After the year she had back home in Brooklyn, landing and losing a couple of jobs and boyfriends, she deserved the sexiest summer ever. Gia hoisted the front section of her hair, holding it high overhead with one hand. With her other hand, she gave it a blast of spray. Then she twisted the clump into a bubble and fastened it in the back with a butterfly clip, a.k.a. tramp clamp. Her tried-and-true technique should have worked, but her bump fell to one side like a deflated tire. "Wah!" she whined at her reflection, but just for a second. Complaining wouldn't fix her poof.
You put a really long footnote on that, and it's like David Foster Wallace never left us.
Yes. R.I.P.
Michael... This is it, right? Western Civ is done.
It's over. I kind of love America now that this is number one, that we are that awful.
Well, it's only number 24.
Oh, so it's not number one.
We're not quite that awful.
All right, well, I think the viewers have read, I will push it up.
Sure.
I have to say, and I told you before the show, I had never heard, well, I knew who Snooki was.
Or as you call her.
I was calling her Snooki, like as if it was like some British billiard sport.
Right.
Yeah, I was talking about Snooki until I was corrected that it was Snooki. And I didn't know anything about her, but I also found out, and this was confirmed by other guests on the show that she is not Italian or from New Jersey.
Yes.
So the whole thing is one big tissue of lies that are sort of built to just really hurt the Italian people in New Jersey.
Yes. Sure.
You should be deeply offended by this. Assessment. And I have a half.
And you point to me and you're the answer. Oh, I see how you roll,
Michael. Well, I'm Hispanic, but I am also half Italian.
Diana, here's the deal. Snooki told the New York Times last summer that she's only read two books in her life.
Duh.
Now she's a best-selling author. Good for her?
Good for her, bad for society. Yes, this is the signs of the apocalypse happening right here. I don't know what to say about this. I'm kind of in shock. But this is promising for any young, aspiring author. You just have to get on a reality show, tan a lot, say like, yo, bada-bing! Yeah. And you could also be on the New York Times best-selling list.
Are you reading the book?
Duh, going back to my first answer.
Matt, does it bother you that someone with literally no discernible skills is making so much money, or is this just capitalism, baby? Yeah.
I actually love it, that somebody can actually make something of themselves and really be a nobody and make all this money. But going back to John Gibson, he talked about the tramp clamp. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for years for the tramp stamp. I've been looking for the wrong thing. I've just been looking for the tramp clamp. Now, this opens up an entire new world to me. What else is in those 200
pages? A lot of times, one leads to the other. It's it's very Da Vinci.
And if you get to both, then it opens up a new universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Wow. I thought you were going to say something, Joe.
No, oftentimes when I hold my conversation pen, people think that. But I have to point it this way for me to actually be talking.
I apologize.
It's at the pause part right now. So ask away.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Bill. I think now that Hoda has a boyfriend, you should start a Snooki Should Date Bill Schultz campaign online.
You are not far off. This woman is this upside down orange turnip is a marketing genius. I come not to bury the Snookster, but to praise her and for her to get my numbers and call me, because she makes more money in her life than I will in my very short life. Mm-hmm. So call me a little freak. This one and the ombudswoman.
All right, I should also point out, you need to go to Amazon.com and check out the reader reviews for Snooki's book. They are fantastic. One of them calls it not the best of the Ewok literature. it goes on from there. They're all really, really good.
I wish I wrote that.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, still to come. Is this man a sexual freak or a killer? Can it be both?
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget to watch us Saturday. We'll be on at 2 a.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Coming up Monday on the next Red Eye, Greg may host, or maybe he won't. I haven't decided yet. But what we do know is that we'll have on the program political commentator Jedediah Bila, U.S. Army Special Forces member Terry Shepard, and author Anna David.
Yow.
Hey, time to go back to SA Cup for the post-game wrap-up. What's up, SA?
Hey, Andy.
How are you living?
Don't you want to just sit like this all the time?
I really do.
Yeah.
Not.
Diana, I hear you're launching a new project that we should know about.
Yes, Permission to Speak, powered by military.com. And in the meantime, it launches on Valentine's Day. But if you're a serviceman, woman, you can email me at p2speak@gmail.com.
Wait, so what's, to explain a little more, what's the...
I'm going to be giving relationship advice to the soldiers.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but mostly single service men and women.
Loves it.
Now, is your job going to be harder with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Can't answer that. Don't ask, don't
tell. Matt, what are you doing, say, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.?
Nursing my hangover and talking about stocks on Bulls and Bears on Fox News Channel from 10 to 10:30, and you know, all things stocks, business, politics, you name it.
Sounds exciting, Michael.
Wow.
I hear there's something happening inside your wife's uterus.
I was unaware of this. Yeah, I know, it's really sad that everyone's plugging these great things, and I'm plugging a fetus.
No, you already did the plugging.
Did that come out? Actually, no, I was actually supposed to come out like that. No, that was totally... That was premeditated.
Three weeks
from today.
Wow.
Or 4 weeks from today or something.
Yeah, something.
I got some columns coming up, too, if you want to read those.
Basically,
they're all going to be about my baby.
So 3 weeks from today or 4 weeks from today, you'll get a text. And
yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks, Andy.
Thanks a lot, Essie.